All right. How's everybody doing this morning? Is anybody here this morning? All right. I want to begin, we had our 70 stuff last week. We had a great potluck. There's pictures. This church has been in Salida since 1947 and had a great ministry here and done some great things as it's been here. And this week, I had some opportunities to meet with some pastors in our area. They called me, and I had some conferences with pastors. I have been here 4 years, and it's been a blessing to be here. I love this church. And when I say the church, it's not a building, because isn't it the same building that was here when I came? Just if you don't know that, there was a different building here. But I want to tell you, as I sit and talk with these pastors, there's some hurting pastors in our area. Things don't always go easy. But this church is different. This church has been something special. If you look over this church, you look at this nice building here. One time there was two buildings here. Before that, there was two buildings. There was one building here. There was one building here. There was a tent here. All right. This church has been through a lot and has changed a whole lot. As you can tell, the music's quite different than the old hymns we used to sing. And although we sang some hymns and we do that. And I give this church a lot of kudos. As I talk with these pastors, there's some turmoils in these churches. There's some heartache for these pastors as they're trying to make some transitions and change. And this church has changed a lot. I mean, I go back when I came in the building here Sunday, there was 15 people in the church, 19 count my family, and 37 windows broken in the building, two buildings set in here, and that's my first Sunday here 34 years ago. And so we progressed through time, and then we God had blessed us, and we were running about 100 people, and the building was really, we needed to move on. So we did Sunday school in our building, and we did church over at the school next door. Then they wanted to clean that school up and repaint and fix that school up because it needed a lot of refurbishment. So they closed school and we moved to the brand new school, the new middle school. Anybody go to the middle school over there on Tombs, midnight that school? We did church for 15 years. We were portable. Just so you know how crazy we've been, we went out and we passed Bibles out to every house in Salida. That's what this church has done. We went and knocked on every door and gave everybody a Bible in Salida. We did simultaneous revivals. When we went to the school trying to reach our community, trying to make a difference, we flip-flop our Sunday school and Bible study. We used to do church at 9:30 and then have Bible study after church, trying to reach the people, trying to do something, because it's not about us. It's about those out there. And we had that little verse above the door there. I challenge you, as you go out, turn around and look above the door and look at that verse. They will know you are my disciples because you get up there every Sunday morning. You know, your car is not in your driveway Sunday morning. You know, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And so that's been our passion. As church grad, as I sat there and heard these pastors in our area, and just so you know, one of the churches I know that I've been around here so long, I told the pastor, if that church ever called me, I would have never went there. And I just know what's in that church, and it's like, I'm not going there. I feel so blessed to be the pastor here and to share God's word with. I just want you to know how much I love you guys. I love that you put up with me because I've done some crazy things in this church. Some of you have seen some things I have done. Sometimes I've had to come and apologize because I did some things that I probably shouldn't have done. Yeah. And so I just want you guys to know how much I love this church and I love being here. And like I say, it's 70 years. Go back and look at some of the pictures. But it's not about... My prayer has been, as I've tried to wrestle with life, and here's something that I pray with the worship team every Sunday, but it's a theme that I want in my life. It says, I want others to see Jesus in me and want to join me on this wonderful journey. That's what I want this church to be. I want people drive by, people who see us that say, you know, there's something different about those people, and I just want to join what they're doing. I want to be a part of what they're doing because I know what that is. See, that's how I became a Christian. See, I became a Christian at 17 because of a bunch of youth in church. My cousins came by one Monday night because they had Monday night visitation. Anybody remember Monday night visitation in churches? Knocked on the door and invited me to church. And it's like, did I want to go to church? No, I quit going to church when I was 12. So it's like, I ain't going to do that. Church people, they don't know how to talk right. You know, they don't know the good word. You know, I can string those words together really well. You know, they're nerdy and I didn't want to go. But I went with my cousins and got involved in church. And we're washing cars on a trip to go to Glorieta, New Mexico, and in the midst of that car wash, there was something different about all those kids. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was, but there was just something different about those kids, and as I watched them, and as I joined in with them and started washing cars, later, Somebody told me the difference was Jesus Christ. You know, I've shared the story how they set me up. We have church Sunday night, and afterwards we go to my uncle's house. We play spoons. Anybody ever play spoons? Anybody remember the game spoons? You know, we'd play card games. We'd play games. And one Sunday night, we had McDonald's hamburgers. We're sitting there eating, and we're getting ready to play cards, and everybody leaves but my cousin. She came to church. I introduced you guys to her. She leaves. My cousin sitting next to me. My cousin says, let me show you something with you, and shares with me the need for Jesus Christ called spiritual loss. And I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ that night. But it began when I seen something in these youth that was different. So I wanted that to be us. I want people to see something different in us and want to join us on this wonderful trip. Does that sound okay? That's what I want this church to be. And I'm going to tell you, it's a privilege. Like I said, I sat there with these pastors this week. Two or three of the pastors had tremendous heartaches that they were dealing with in their churches. And my heart went out to them because I'm so blessed here. You guys have done so much. And just so you know, I don't know what's changing next. I really don't. Something changed already, I guess. But I'm gonna enjoy the ride. I'm going to enjoy the ride. Now this morning, I'm kind of talking about, we've been in the middle of this series called mental health. Anybody have mental health? You know? I got an issue, all right? I have a mental health issue, and it's called, anybody else got an anger issue? You put me behind the steering wheel of a car, Satan just kind of grows horns, and, you know? We all of us wrestle with something mental health. We all do. You know, there's depression and anxiety. You know, we can get some of the big ones, bipolar and schizophrenia. But then there's addictions and there's eating disorders. And, I mean, we can just go down the line, you know, mood changes. We can go, there's also, we live with those. And we've been talking about that for the last several weeks. We've been on this topic. We only got one more to go next week. And we're just going to, you know, how do we deal with this? Well, this morning's message, I'm going to kind of take a different step. How to deal with it. Let me ask you this one. How do you live with someone that has these issues? All right? How do you live with someone like my wife? No, she's living with me with an anger issue. All right? You know, the word is, here's what, you know, it's like she says this to me. Now, she's in the lobby. All right? She says this to me. The problem is I put a TV out there. She can watch and listen. But she, you know, we'll go by. And last week we had cake here, right? We had a nice big cake for our 70th anniversary. And we had cake to eat. Well, you guys didn't eat it all. And so I took home a pan full of cake. And my wife says, every time I eat too much sugar, guess what pops up? Anger issues. That I'm more easily angered. Anybody have issues like that? You know what I'm saying? You know, we all have these battles. How do you with someone with that? How do we get along with someone with depression? With someone with an anxiety issue? You know, what do you do when you have a friend who keeps talking about suicide and it just gets old, you know, and they talk about that issue. You know, how do we show this godly compassion? You know? And so I just thought God, and there's a beautiful picture. How to deal with somebody who has these long term. There's no miracle healing. There's no magical wand. There's nothing that's going to make it all go away. Make it all get better. There's a story in the Bible that really paints a picture of how to do this. Even though his issue is physical, there's other mental issues and mental battles. It's a story of David, the king of Israel. David became king, and here's what it says here. The king, and that's David. Let me encourage you to get your outline out. You can follow along. There's blanks you can fill in. If you have your phone, you can pull out your phone. Go to the YouVersion Bible. You can pull out your phone, go to YouVersion Bible on the bottom, click this little three lines, says events down there. When the thing comes up, says events, you can follow the outline on the YouVersion Bible. There's an outline right there for you in the YouVersion Bible. But follow along, and here's what the king said. The king is David. The king had asked, he just ascended to the throne, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. He's saying, yes, there's someone you can show kindness to. He's the son of Jonathan. I'll tell you his name. I'd rather say the son of Jonathan than try to say the guy's name, Mephibosheth. Don't you like that? His name is Mephibosheth. I'll probably mess it up several times as we're talking this morning. Mephibosheth, he's both legs. He's handicapped. He has a physical ailment. And here's David the king. Now, I want to make sure I paint a picture of what's going on here. David is the new king of Israel. He finally ascended to the throne. Paint a picture here. Years and years and many years before this, when David was a young man, the priest, God had laid a priest and led this priest to David and anointed David, future king of Israel, when he was a young man, a teenager. Now, just so you know, this is several decades later, many years later. David finally ascended to the throne. And I want to make sure it says, is there anyone from the house of Saul? Because here's the problem. Saul was the king. And Saul and David did not get along. All right? Saul and David had this antagonistic relationship. The antagonism was so great that Saul tried to kill David. David's playing the harp in the house for Saul one day, and Saul reaches over and grabs a spear and tries to pin David to the wall with that spear. That wasn't good enough for Saul. David fled. David goes out hiding. Guess what? Saul pursues David all over the country of Israel, in the mountains, in the valleys. He chases David everywhere, trying to kill David. Now get that picture in your mind. Here's Saul, the king of Israel, trying to kill David. He had no idea that David was anointed. Nobody had told him that. He just, for some reason, hated this young man that was growing up, and he pursued him and tried to kill him. Now, David becomes king, and he asks this question, who can I show kindness to from the house of Saul? Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody's chased me and tried to kill me, you think I'm going to be nice to his family? You know, this guy's tried to kill me. His son, his sons, and his family. As a matter of fact, in that world, the key thing when you became king is you had to eliminate everybody from that family, because they're potential threats to your kingdom. So you got to kill all of those people. So technically, he, in that world, in that time, he's supposed to kill those people. And here David is asking, is there someone I can show compassion to? And this guy Ziba comes up and says, yeah, there's a son of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan's really interesting. Jonathan's one of the sons of Saul. He was one of the best friends of. He tried to warn David. He tried to help his dad understand who David was. He tried to reach out to David. But I want to make sure you paint this picture. Here's this uncomfortable situation. This situation that isn't prone to be kind, isn't set up to show grace, isn't set up to show mercy. It's to show the other end. And here David is looking to show kindness. You know? We got a visitor. Just so you know, just to kind of give you, I don't know what it is, but it did this the other day. I'm so crazy. I walked outside and looked on the roof, both sides, trying to figure out what. And there was nobody on. I'm going, is somebody on the roof? Is there a bird on the roof? There was no bird. I didn't see anything on the roof. But something's there. Okay. But David wanted to kill. Isn't that sidetracked? Didn't you guys ever do that? I tell you, you've got a crazy preacher here, all right? I warned you when I start, all right? You know. But here's this guy. He wants to show kindness. Everybody been in those relationships where it's not comfortable to show kindness? Anybody? A stressful, difficult, challenging relationship, and yet you need to show kindness. You need to show compassion, and it's not comfortable. You know, David was pursuing, how can I show? Matter of fact, why don't you circle that? You look at that verse, it says, how can I show God kindness? Maybe double underline God. Circle that whole thing, but maybe underline God doubly or something. It's not, I'm going to show my kindness to him. I'm going to show my kindness. No, he says, I'm going to show God's compassion. Anybody been to those relationships where it's going to take God's compassion to reach somebody? You know, you're done with them. I'm full up to here with them. I'm finished with them. They've pushed me to no end. It's over. I'm not doing anything else. And it's like, well, wait a minute, to go to God's compassion. Anybody ever, how that old saying go, reach the end of your rope? Anybody ever reach the end of your rope? Anybody remember those sayings? You know, you reach the end of your rope, I'm done. I'm finished. See, David wanted to show God's compassion. And here's what it says. David finds Mephibosheth, and look at what he says to him. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." I'm going to encourage you, go over and read that chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 9. David invites him to the table. David says, "You can always sit at my table. You can always come to my house. There's a place for you to eat. There's a place for you to have safety. There's a place where you're always going to be welcome, a place where you're always going to fit in." David said, "I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to have kindness. I'm going to have graciousness for you. Yes, handicap. Yes, you have some physical challenges. Yes, I'm going to say it in terms of us today in my context of my message this morning. Yes, there's some mental challenges, some depression, some anxiety, some OCD, some eating disorder, some addiction. There's something going on, but there's always going to be a place. Because I can't do it anymore. I'm done. That godly compassion is what we know. You know, how do we get there? How do you get, have you ever just kind of wanted to wash your hands from somebody? Anybody? You know, you've reached out, you're at the end of your rope, you're done. I've done everything I can. I've been thrown out. I remember when I was in junior college telling somebody the other day, you know, I'm not that smart. I was going to the office all the time, my English class. Some of you know, you see my spelling mistakes all the time. And so I'd go to my English teacher, and one time my English teacher looked at me and says, "Don't come back. I can't help you. Out of my office." You ever feel like telling somebody that? I'm done. I'm fed up. How do we get to godly compassion? Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a time when that has to happen. She was probably right, okay? I'm a lost cause. Anybody been that lost cause? You know? But how do we do this? I'm going to just give you six quick things this morning. Let me just nail down six quick things that help us get along. Because we all, this, so you know what the statistics are, just look around here, just kind of glance around quick. 1 in 5 will deal with mental illness. Think about that. Just in this room alone. 1 in 5. Well, I'm going to be one of them with anger, okay? So you don't have to look for, you know, so that takes care of 4 of you. You know. Because we all deal with it. So how do we get along? How do we live? You know, I have friends with depression. Anybody got friends with depression? That aggravates, like, get over it. You know, I'm a happy person. You know? I'm a joyful person. Life is good. That glass is always half full. You know, for me, the best years of my life, you know, I'm going to turn 63 this month. The best years of my life, I'm still excited about what's going to come next. You know? And there's some, oh, poor me. You may get war on, depression, anxiety, you know, don't want to leave the house, you know, OCD, bipolar, eating disorder. I just go down the list of all these things. How do we live with them? How do we move with them? And then how do we help them? You know, most of my messages so far has been those dealing with it, right? So this morning, how do we deal with it? So I'm going to give you 6 principles. So here's what it's based on, this scripture right here. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with another in love. There's 2 words that I struggle with. Okay. With my anger issue, how do you think patience is going to work? You know? When you got anger issues, guess what's one of the top-notch things going to really push your button? Patience. Just be patient. I'm not a patient person. And then bearing with one another, yeah. Yeah. That's what it's saying. We gotta be patient with one another. We gotta bear one another. Now I'm gonna deal with this as I go through the message, because I'm gonna tell you, there is a time, well, I'll get there. All right. Because there's a time that we reach the end of what we can do. All right. There's a time when I'm done and I can't go anymore. And I'm gonna get there. But there's 6 things that we need to talk about before I get there, all right? It's 1 of the 6. So how do we deal? How do we help somebody? How do we go through this? And so here's if you got your outline, put these in these blanks. Recognize complexity of life. You know, as I read that story of David and Jonathan and Saul and Mephibosheth, it's complex. David could have killed everybody. David had the social right, the social setting to eliminate all the threats to his rule. And yet he's reaching out to this guy. Life is complex. Anybody think life is complex? You know, that there's not some simple answer. Just do the simple thing. Just pray more and you'll get better. Just read your Bible more. If you just had a little more faith. Life is more complex than just some spiritual thing. We have these physical bodies and it does things and it's complex. It's not easy, and we need to see that in our lives. But what I've learned over time, as I look at this, you know, as being the pastor for these years, we always pray for the sick. But what about the caregiver? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What about those who are walking with that person? Well, one of the things you got to stop and think about is how complex life is. You know? I'll be honest with you. You know what? My body doesn't do what I always want it to do. Anybody got a body like that? You know? All the time. You know you're getting old when you start getting out of bed and you're moaning and groaning. You haven't done anything but get out of bed. I'm getting old, you know, and I remember when I first came to the church, and I had a baseball team here at church. We had a softball team. We'd go play softball, and I always played outfield because I was quick, and I could run to the ball, and I'm only like 28, 29, and I'd run in the outfield. I like playing center field because you covered the most of the field, and I would run and catch the balls. Well, 2 weeks down the road, I'm running, and guess what? The ball's falling 3 feet in front of me now. It's like, I used to get there. I used to be able to catch that ball. Our bodies are complex, and our mind is complex. It's not some simple answer. It's not some, you know, well, it's just this, you know, it's just that. It's all in my mind says I can do it. Anybody have your mind say you can do it, but then you try to do it, you can't do it? I know I can do this. I know I can do this. And every time you try to do it, it's like, oh, man, I can't do this. Have that? You know? Life is complex. It's not some simple answer here. And so as we're living with someone, if we're dwelling with someone who battles these issues in their life, we need to back up and realize it's complex. It's not some simple thing that we can say, not some simple wand that we can wave and that things are going to get better. You know, that things are going to go on. I remember I one of the messages we did went like this. Does your mind mind? Can you make mind? You know, your mind, anybody's mind, you're sitting here this morning, and some of you got your minds is wandering already, right? Your mind is wondering, too, what am I going to get for lunch, right? Your mind is wondering, is it going to be a long message or a short one, right? Your minds are wandering. Life is complex, and we need to understand that. But God made us that way. I love this passage. Look at what it says here, Psalms 139. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me there in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Oh, how well I know it. We're complex. There's no easy answer. You know, as we talk about mental health, I want to make sure you get a picture here. There's biological things going on. We've been talking about this through the series. There's biological things going on. There's psychological things going on. There's society things going on. There's family issues going on. There's these things that weigh into who we are. And as we understand, life is complex. There's no simple answer. Living with someone who battles these things, it's not, well, if we just change this one thing, if we just do this simple thing, it's more complex than that. And so as you live and as we want to show God's compassion, we need to back up and say, you know what? I don't get this. See, for me, I don't get depression. Now, you know, I've shared this. I'll get depressed days or Tuesdays, you know. I'll have a day when it's just, oh, man, it's a bummer, you know. But for me, it's like, man, life is good. You know, yeah, I get one day every once in a while. I don't understand that depression. You know, but it's complex. You know, was there some social thing? Was there something in his family? Was there some biological thing going on? Is there a chemical imbalance? Is there, it's complex. So we need to see that in our lives. So as you wrestle with showing compassion, step back a minute and say, you know what, this isn't some easy thing. Yeah. If we deal with somebody with depression or anxiety, many of them don't want to be there. They don't like being depressed. Anybody like being depressed? Anybody here like being depressed? I don't see anybody raising their hands. Yeah. Anybody like being anxiety? Anybody like an addiction? We don't want it. It's complex. It's not an easy. So as we walk with them, we need to have some grace. We need to have that godly compassion. I don't understand. I don't get it. And we need to have that in their lives and understand that. You know, it's not a matter of just get over it. Suck it up. You know, grow up. You know, it's not as simple as that. Life is more complex than that. The next one I put down here, if you're going to deal with this and you're living with it, do not judge. Don't judge. Now, most of us say, well, we don't judge, right? They're just crazy people. They're just a wacko. They're just out of their mind. When we say that word, what are we doing? We're judging. We're categorizing. We need to kind of step back and don't judge. Don't throw words around. Don't characterize. Don't stereotype. Don't put these things out there. We need to kind of back up a little bit and show some compassion and not judge. I found this passage that I really, really liked. I love how it says this. A person who is truly wise. Now listen, if you want to be truly wise, is called understanding and speaks sweetly. Helps others learn. You want to be wise, what do you got to be? Understanding and speak sweetly. Does anybody ever have a mouth sometimes that gets you in trouble? You know? If we understand, now I'm going to give you a little hint. If you're going to understand, what do you got to do most to understand? What's the number one thing you got to do if you're going to understand? You got to, somebody's pointing at their ears. What do you got to do? You got to listen. If you want to be understanding, you listen more than you talk. What I see happening here, look at what it says. The person who is truly wise is called understanding, and speaking sweetly helps others learn. Understanding is a fountain of life to the one who has it. But I like this next part too. I love the way this is worded. But stubborn fools, that could be me, punish themselves with their stupidity. Anybody been there? Anybody ever put your foot in your mouth? Anybody besides me put your foot in your mouth? You know, I get that cow disease, hoof and mouth. You know, we have this going on in us, you know. I always have this rule. I'd rather keep my mouth shut and let somebody think I'm stupid than open my mouth and prove it. All right? You know, keep my mouth shut, let them think I'm dumb. Don't open my mouth and prove it. All right. You know, I love the way it said that. A wise person's heart controls his speech. Whoa. And what he says, others learn. Pleasant words are like honey from a honeycomb, sweet to the spirit and healthy to the body. I think that's awesome. You know, that compassion, that care starts in the heart, but it comes from my mouth. I think Jesus said somewhere in there, didn't Jesus say what comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart, kind of paraphrasing? Didn't Jesus say that somewhere? Some of you guys better be bouncing your head. You know your Bible well enough. Yeah. James says, you know, don't be angry. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Isn't that kind of what it says? Yeah. We need to see this in our lives. We need to kind of be a wise person. And so don't judge. You know, that person's fighting that. And it's like, just get over it. Grow up. You know? Be a man. Be a woman. Accept the responsibility. You know, are we critical? Are we judgmental? So we don't judge. See, don't judge. And so we need to reach out. Understand, life is complex. And there's really no space for judgment in those words that we need to watch. And those things we need to say, is it a sweet spirit? Is it good words? Is it something that builds up, that lifts up? There's all sorts of passages. But there's no room for judgment. How about the next one? It says, read and research to learn all you can. I'll begin with this. None of us know everything. Anybody here know everything? Now, I tell the kids all the time, everything there is about everything. You know, I do. I tell the kids, that ask me any question, I know everything there is about everything. I know nothing. You know? But we need to read and research. Let me tell you, I'm going to be real specific here. Read your Bible, all right? You want to know how godly compassion works? Read the Bible. You want to know about mental health? Read the Bible. You know, it's like, well, that's not a mental health book. Well, yeah. You know, I wrote some notes here. David, you can read the Psalms over and over. You'll see David in despair. Read the book of Jeremiah, and you see Jeremiah with loneliness. Read the story of Elijah, and you see a guy who's discouraged and at the end of his rope, and he's done. The Bible's full of stories, full of events in life that battle this. Read the Bible and see how God deals with compassion and see how God calls us to compassion. How do we minister? How do we help? What do we do in these situations? And God's Word is full of it. But I want to tell you also this. God has blessed others with wisdom and knowledge. God has gifted others with skills and talents. All right? And we need to listen there. We need to find those and we need to be with those who can help. We need to associate with those. See, I believe there's good Christian counselors out there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll be honest with you. I think all of us need to talk to counselors. If you haven't talked to a counselor in your life, you need to go see a counselor. I think I'm crazy, right? But I'm serious. You know, a counselor, I guarantee Christian counselors, we have some that attend our church. And you know, God's given them skills and there's talents and there's abilities that they have. And so we need to see counselors. We need to read good books. You know, I passed out a book here when we started. Some of you bought a book, and I'm going to tell you, it's still an excellent. If you don't have one, I got it on the back table. You can look at mine. I'll order you one. You know, it's like $16. I can't remember how much they were, but it's a great book. If you're dealing with depression and anxiety, it's an awesome book. You know, there's another one I want to read. I haven't yet. I still remember one I got when I was in college. My aunt gave me one when I graduated college. Came from the Minrith Institute in Dallas, Texas area. Christian Psychology Center. Happiness is a Choice. I talk about all the medicines. Really a good book. And I got one out there you can see that's mine for my issue. It's called Anger. It's got anger, big old letter on the front of it. That one's mine that I read for me. You know? Because we got to research and we got to read. Go to conferences. You know, we had a conference here on mental health the 1st of October. I think the date was the 3rd of October. Had a conference here on mental health. Mental health from all over Modesto came to our church. And have shared a time together. And we had a great time getting an idea. And so we need to understand that. Look at what God's Word says. Good advice and you will succeed. Get good advice and you will succeed. Don't go charging into battle without a plan. I like that. Do some research. Try to understand. You know, read some things and make a plan. How am I going to do this? How do I deal with this? Sit down with the person. And talk about, you know, I live with you and you're driving me batty with this. Anybody ever want to say that to somebody? No? Well, make a plan. How can we do that? Get some good advice, you know. Go to a conference. Read a book. Get a counselor. Look at the next verse. I like this verse too. Get all the advice you can. Get all the advice you can. Get all the advice you can. Can I say that again? Get all the advice you can. And you will succeed. Without it, you will fail. All right, get all this advice. Let me give you a little warning here. Now, I assume the best of all of you that are here, that you guys know this, all right? I'm going to assume. If you guys don't know this, raise your hand. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. Does everybody know that? You can't believe everything you read on the internet. You can't believe everything you read anywhere, all right? Make sure, that's my warning to you, you know, don't believe, well, I read it in this book, that settles it. No, it said get all the advice. That means many resources, all right? So that's my first warning. My first warning is don't believe everything you read. Don't believe every conference you say. I'm going to be honest with you. Don't believe everything I say. Go home and read the Bible and tell me if I mess up, because I do mess up. I put a verse in here and I had the wrong verse. Somebody told me about it. I'm glad. I used to get a bad time. I told everybody, you know, if you're familiar with one of the Bible stories, Paul, the great missionary that started most of the churches in the New Testament time, wrote most of the New Testament version, happened on the road to Damascus. The Bible says he fell to the ground. Well, I say he fell off a horse. doesn't say that. Somebody tells me, he didn't fall off no horse. Well, I say, I'd like to think that. I don't know, see some guy stumbling down the road. Oh, I fell. You know, I like to think he fell from a horse, not just being stupid. You know, but they corrected me. That's okay. Correct me. I'll challenge you. If I make a mistake, tell me. I'm not perfect. Practically perfect in every way. Me and Mary Poppins. You guys know that. They've been here for a while. I tell you, no, I'm not even there. You know, don't believe everything you read, all right? But research. But here's the second thing. Here's another. Now, this one I hear, and it aggravates me. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. That didn't make me angry. I want to make sure you know that's not angry yet. Aggravation's not anger yet. I get some freedom in there. A lot of times we already make our mind up, and then we go do the research. We'll Google things on the internet. We'll research on the internet, and we got our mind made we're looking for. And this one says, no, that's not right. This one says, no, that's not right. This one says, no, that's not right. 99 down the list. No, no, no. 99 no, no, no's. You finally get to one that says yes, and guess what? You come back to me and say, I got one that said yes. What did the other 99 say? We always look for the one that we want to agree with. You got to be open. You know, you got to be open, all right? You can't just look for the one that agrees with what you're saying. You got 99 others over here. That one aggravates. I hear that all the time to me. You know, well, I found this one. Well, what about this one and this one and this one and this one and this one? Well, I got one. I'll go with the one that, anybody? I got this one friend. You got all your friends saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But you got this one friend that says, do it. I'm going with him. Anybody ever do that dumb thing? Don't act so innocent. You guys sit there like, I never did that. Yeah. See, don't believe everything you read, and don't just read to affirm what you believe. Makes sense? But you got to read and research. Get the advice of others. You know, you're living with somebody with an eating disorder. You know, read on that. What's going on? Maybe something's in their head. Maybe something in their life, childhood. Maybe, you know. So read and research. Try to understand it, okay? How about this next one? I put it this way. Find help. I think this is really important. Don't go it alone. You're not on your own. Get other people around you. Get a support system. All right, write that down somewhere, support system, something in there. You need some others around you. You can't do this alone. If you're wrestling with somebody in your family, one of your friends, and you're there on your own, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to take care of them. All I need is me and them, and we'll deal with this. It doesn't work that way. You need a support system. Does that make sense? Does anybody want to shake your head on that one? You need those who are going to be there with you, someone that's going to walk with you. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm one who, you know, like I said, I have enough psychology to know I don't know anything. You know, my degree, like I said, I minored in school in psychology. I was two classes short of a double major in psychology. I've taken psychology ever since. I almost went back to get a degree in marriage and family counseling here at Stanford. I mean, I loved all that stuff. But you know what? I'm not an expert, and none of us are. I need to get somebody to walk with me, somebody to help me. I'm going to tell you, get a support system. You don't have to do this on your own. If you're a caregiver and you're walking with somebody, whether it's physical or it's a mental issue, get somebody to walk with you. Find some help. Am I being specific enough here? Am I beating this up? You guys are just sitting there like, Say yes, please. You know? Let me read you a story, very familiar in the Bible. It's called the Samaritan. Anybody remember the Good Samaritan story? Anybody know that Good Samaritan story? It's a story in the Bible. Look how this happens, and look what he did, and look how it transpired here. A man from Samaria then came traveling along the road. Well, just kind of get a little backdrop. Here's this road, and there's a guy beat up laying on the road. He's been mugged, all right? We've got a guy that's been mugged sitting on the side of the road, all bloody, all tore up, sitting there on the side of the road. Some people walk by. The religious leaders, hopefully it wasn't a preacher, but probably walked right by. You know, here's this guy sits there. Finally, a Samaritan comes by. When he saw the man, he felt sorry for him and went over to him. He treated his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. All right, he's doing all he can. I'm doing all I can. I pick him up. I take care of him. I bandage him. I put him on this donkey. I take him to this inn. I'm not alone now. Do you get the picture? He's not alone now. He's seeking help. Then he put him on his own donkey, took him to the inn where he took care of him. The next morning he gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins and said, "Please take care of the man. If you spend more than this on him, I will pay you when I return." Do you get the picture here? He says, "I can't do everything. So here's some help. Get some more help. Whatever we need to do, let's get some help in this." Here's what I want to make sure you understand. If you're caring for somebody, whether it's mental or physical, it is draining. Anybody, man? Come on, guys. Don't just sit there. You know, it's tiresome. It wears on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're caring for someone, it doesn't mean that they're bad, that they're evil. Remember, it's complex, and we're not judging and, you know, all of this. And it just wears on you, and it just gets old, and it gets tiring, and it just keeps going, and you start feeling you're at the end. You need to get some help. Don't do it alone. You need to find a place where you can refresh. You need a place where you can recharge. You're going to care for somebody. Realize that. And it's okay to need help. This guy needed help. He said, "I can't do all this. Here's what I can do. I can bandage you. I can get you to the hotel. I can get you taken care of. And then I'm going to pay this guy. And God, if you need more money, we'll take care of it. Bring the counselors in. Bring the doctors in. You know, send for the ambulance. Whatever you got to do. We're in this together. Find some help. Is that okay?" You know, that's one of the things. If you're going to be godly compassion, if you don't have help, you're not having godly compassion, because it's going to kill you. It will wear you down. And so get some godly compassion. Get some others to walk with you. You know that. I just got a phone call in the church. One of the ladies in our church, I didn't know. Her daughter just called me. She's in the hospital now at USF. I got to find out what's going on. And it's like, whoa, that was surprised me. She said, "It's been there 2 weeks. And she said, I never thought about calling you till just now." It's like, you should have called me a long time ago. So we need to see this in. And so find some help. Let me move on real quick. I'm running out of time. How about this one? Stop the stigma. If you're taking notes, you've been here all through this series of messages. This has been in pretty much every message, has it not? There's this stigma about mental health. I'm not crazy. When I say I got a mental issue, the first thing you got to think, well, he's crazy, right? He's wacko. You know, especially right now. You know, we had this horrific event in Texas. Anybody on me? And this guy was sick. I don't care. You know, to me, you have to be sick to do something like that. All right. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. I don't know. You know, biological, physical, family. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong. All right. But we hear that, and so when I say mental health, we get that image in our mind of this extreme individual. You know, the guy right here in town. Anybody ever go down Slida Boulevard and Brighton? Anybody, you guys ever drive through town here? See the guy dancing on the corner down there? Anybody besides me see him dancing? Yeah, you know. I mentioned mental health, and your mind goes to those guys who are whacked out. Now, maybe I'm being judged. Maybe I said don't say that, and then I go and say it. Whew, you know. But, you know, you got those extremes. When we say don't get, you know, when you think about mental health, don't think about the extreme. You're talking about 4 or 5% of the mental health issues. You're not talking about the majority of us who battle with this little anger issue or this depression issue or this anxiety or this OC or you know, I've had people who couldn't get out of their house. They had this paranoia. They would never leave their house. And you know, how do we, you know, and, you know, it's... We got to step back and get the stigma off of this, you know, and watch how we talk about it. 1 in 5 Americans, 1 in 5 will struggle with that. Now, if you got 5 in your family, that means at least 1 in your family. And if you're looking around, your family might be saying, you don't have to look far, just look inside, right? You know, you're the one. You know? We all wrestle with this. So how do we deal with this? And I like what Jesus says as he talked about it. And again, I think this is the Message Bible. Look at how he words this, and you'll recognize, some of you might recognize this. You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is as much as angry with your brother or sister is guilty of murder. That puts me in bad light, doesn't it? Carelessly calling your brother idiot, which I did a lot when I was growing up, 2 brothers. And you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister. Is that what it says? Let's see. At a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is words kill. Is that true? Didn't we have a saying as we were growing up? Anybody have a saying when you were growing up? Sticks and stones, a break bones, but words will never... That's a lie. It's right out of hell. That's a lie. What does that say right there? The simple moral fact is that words kill. We gotta deal with this stigma. Like I say, it's not just one issue. You know, well, it's biological. I believe there's chemical imbalances. I really do. I believe, you know, we're this complex individual, and sometimes the chemicals in our brain aren't quite balanced. That's why sugar, and it makes my, if you ask my wife, it makes me angrier. You know? It makes me easier to get angry. You know, that's a chemical thing. Am I right? See, we need to step back. There's biological things. There's physical things going on in our bodies. There's family issues that have gone on. There's social things that have gone on. All these kind of things work into us. So we need to see this. And so we got to get back from the stigma. Yeah, we're going to find these extremes. But most of us aren't the extreme. Most of us are functioning adults that battle little issues. And sometimes little issues grow into big issues. Anybody in that one? You got the little issue that sometimes just kind of grows and grows. We need to have that godly compassion as we deal with it. Let me get to the last one here. And it's last because it's not least, but it's last because it's really important. I put it this way. Care for your personal mental health. You've got to take yourself. All right? There's a time, there's a time when, you know, I've done all I can, and now I've got to let somebody else take the ball. That's when you go back to find help and all those others. Because you got to take care of yourself. Sometimes it's like, I got to get away. I got to get some time to myself. I got to recharge my battery before I can jump back in. I got to refresh myself before I get in there. See, sometimes it's, we are physical, emotional, and spiritual beings, and we need to understand that, and it wears on us. I like what this says here. Galatians 6:9. Don't get tired of helping others. You will reward when the time is right. Don't get tired. Anybody get weary? Anybody get exhausted? Anybody reach into your rope? Anybody said, I had enough? I'm done? Now, sometimes you get there, and you got to hand it off. Anybody watch those races? You pass the baton? Anybody ever pass the baton? Sometimes you got to pass the baton. You know, God, I've done everything I can for my mental health, for my well-being, for where I am. I've got to stop. I've got to move over here, but I got to pass the baton. Don't just throw them. Good luck. See you later. No. Find some help. You got to go find some help. Here's a counselor. Here's a conference. Here's a verse. Here's this. Here's somebody else that's going to walk with you for a while. Let me refresh. Let me recharge so I can get back into this. Does that make sense? You got to take care of your own mental well-being. Look what it says again. Brothers and sisters, we can't allow ourselves to get tired of doing what's right. That's hard. It wears. We get weary. Life is rough. Anybody think life is easy? Life is just smooth. No problems, no issues. We're just going to cruise through life. It doesn't work that way. We need to understand that. But here's my prayer at the end. I put it this way. Look at the last verse. Dear friend, this is my prayer. Pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. I like that. As I walk with God, I will have the strength for godly compassion. Because Gary's compassion can run short. Anybody? You know? I can get tired. I can get weary. I can say, I've had enough. I've done all I can. You're on your own. But God, I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to finish the course. Good health is there. So I'm going to challenge you. You know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know who you're dealing with. But if the numbers are true and the statistics are right, we all have these issues. And we all have someone we're walking through life that need godly compassion. I went to my dad Friday. My dad's going to turn 84. I never could work with my dad. I love my dad. I know my dad loved me. There's never an issue about that. But I never could work with my dad. You know, I was telling my grandson was up there with us, and You know, if my dad was working, he'd say, toss me a tool. He's on a ladder way up high. You toss the tool up. You got to toss it upright. You toss it past them so they can stick their hand out and it drops in their hand. All right? Don't throw it to them. You got to go past them. And then if it's the wrong one, hide because it's coming back. All right? That's the way I was, you know. And so I go up to help my dad. My dad's 84 this year. He can't do everything anymore. You know, and so his TV went out, and I had to redo a TV, and he had a TV, so I had to remount a TV and do all this stuff. Fortunately, he sat in the chair and didn't go in there and watch me do the work, because I could never do anything right. Anybody been in that one? I was just, no way I would work with my dad, and no matter what I did, it was never right. Anybody, you know, how do we deal with that? It's godly compassion. I walk in, my dad's sleeping, and, you know, like I said, he's 84, and he had fell asleep sitting there in his chair, and I'm going, is he alive? Making sure he's breathing. Anybody ever do that? Come on, you guys, don't act so innocent. You know, it's like, is he breathing still? Yeah, he's still breathing. Yeah. How do we wrestle with that caregiving thing? How do we walk? See, ice points are great. You know, just kind of step back. You know, life is complex, man. This life is, it's this physical, and there's chemicals, and there's biological, and there's all sorts of things going on, and it's not one just magical wand. We'll just give you this one little pill, or we'll give you this one little book, or we'll, and it's all going to be better. It doesn't work. It's complex, you know. And don't judge. We got to watch our words, you know. And we can't judge. And we got to take care of ourselves. And does this make sense? So I just want to encourage you this morning, as we wrestle with those and we walk with those, let's be like David. He didn't simply write a letter. Good luck, Mephibosheth. I wish you well. Send you a note. Happy. He took him in, and he walked with him. Gave him a place at his table, and he served him. I want to challenge us to walk with those, to be there, to do what we can. Read and research. Find some help, but don't do it alone. Build a team and serve one another. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that it's godly compassion we need. Lord, because we can't do it on our own. Our mental health, Lord, and our physical bodies, it's hard to have that compassion. The weariness, the tiresome. You know, praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you find yourself in a situation this week, this morning, where you're weary, you're tired, you've been walking with someone. Maybe it's a physical issue, maybe it's one of the mental issues we've been talking about, and you're the caregiver, and it's just wearing on you, and you want me to pray for you this morning. Would you just shoot your hand up and say, would you pray for me? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who are hurting. Lord, they're walking with someone. They're serving someone. They're ministering. They're caring. They're showing compassion. But Lord, they need your strength. They need your wisdom. They need a refreshing and a recharging. Lord, I ask you to encourage them in some way. Let your spirit that dwells in the hearts of believers inspire them. Lord, maybe they need to find some help. Guide them to someone who can help them and walk with them. Maybe they need some reading or research, Lord. Show them where they can find some tools that could help them. Let them see your hand in the complexity of life. Lord, I lift them up to you that you may in some way touch their heart and comfort them. They may not be suffering with this. They are hurting with the wound of caring. So I lift them up to you that you may care for the caregiver, that you may encourage their mind, comfort their heart, and strengthen them physically to serve those that are around them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.